Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Friday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. And along with Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl. David Kistler is not with us today. My question to you, Sam, where in the world are you today?
Well, you know, I am down in the sunny south, down in Florida. It was quite a switch, Gary. I left Pennsylvania this morning, got up about 4 in the morning, and it was about 50 degrees, and we landed in Orlando area, and it's about 84 degrees. So it's a big switch. I'm glad to be here rather than rainy, cold Pennsylvania.
I'll pray for you.
All right, you do that. You do that.
And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, today we are also delighted to have Jim O'Brien on with us. He really is no stranger to us here at the Stand in the Gap program. He served as chairman of several National Academy of Sciences committees, including bioterrorism, data fusion, and aviation security. He was the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense and Director of Live Fire Testing in the Office of the Secretary of Defense. And for the last 15 years, and up to this particular point in time, he works as a senior analyst for several national defense and security organizations. Jim O'Brien, welcome back to the program. Glad to have you with us, sir.
Hey, Gary and Sam. Great to be back on again. Thank you.
Amen. Well, in case you folks are interested, we just want to give you an update on the scores of the Republican presidential candidates as it stands right now. Donald Trump is 26.1. Ben Carson is 14.1. Jeb Bush is 11.1. Marco Rubio is 8.6. Carly Fiorina is 8.2. Ted Cruz is 8.1. Mike Huckabee is 5.5. John Kasich is 3.8. Rand Paul was 3.5. And Chris Christie is 4.4. And Sam, I realize that these figures probably don't mean a whole lot to us right now as it relates to who's going to come out on top in a year from now. But Donald Trump just continues to be up there. I think he's up a few more points from what he was the other day. He was at 23%. Now he's at 26.1%. Any comments on that as to why you think he just hangs in there?
Well, Gary, I mean, I think it's some of the things we've been saying before. He remains on target from standpoint of talking about the issues that resonate with middle America. Number one. Number two, when he does say something, he says it with both passion and he says it with a great deal of flair. And in these days, those combinations together are very important. His knack has been fleshing out the details, but when he did speak about his plan for tax change, that was an indication, I think, to many people that, in fact, there was some substance, not just form. And so those are the reasons, Gary, I think, that we're seeing him stay at the front of the list. And it is surprising to many extent.
Jim O'Brien, as a fellow who is around Washington quite a bit, do you have any comments on the way these particular figures are coming out to us today?
Well, I think I agree with what Sam said, the fact that America likes a winner, okay? You know, you have American Idol, you have all these America's Got Talent and all these different shows that are very competitive, and of course Donald Trump is seen as a competitor and also a winner by many people. I do think that he's put some meat on the bones now with this income tax plan. I'm not sure I am enthusiastic about it, but I do think it's at least something on the bone that up to this point it's been more form than and enthusiasm than substance. The part I don't like is that a large chunk of America will have no skin in the game, so to speak, even if it's a 1% tax. I really believe that everybody in America, except maybe for some very few that have some very serious issues, need to have some skin in the game, and his plan will allow a mega millions of people to be exempt from having a part in America.
Of course, he says that, you know, this particular tax plan that he has is going to generate revenue otherwise. And do you see that that is a reality, Jim?
Well, if you take each of the pieces of the of the plan in isolation, you generate additional revenue. But the thing is, the economy has what I call second derivatives. In other words, when you change this, the other piece of it, the other pieces also change to adapt to that change. So mm-hmm. when you don't take into account the secondary effects, maybe that would be a better word rather than a mathematical term, I don't think the revenue, all of what he says, is going to come in. It certainly will have some kind of a multiplier effect, as the economists would call it, but I don't think to the degree that maybe he is saying it.
Sam, do you have any comments on that, sir?
Well, only this, to follow up what Jim said, I do believe that when it comes to tax policy, there is great, great wisdom in having it, as Jim said, to have everyone having some skin in the game. And I really believe that that's the concept of the flat tax that many have talked about in the past. You have a percentage, even though it be low, and everybody pays the same thing, you actually have a tax policy that will generate increasing sums of tax revenue, and everybody has a piece of it. And if you make a million, whatever percentage it is, you are going to pay more dollars than the person who doesn't make very much at all, who spends less dollars, but they're there with that percentage. I think that's a biblical approach, frankly, and I think it's a very, very good tax policy approach to have that for a lot of reasons. So
yeah,
that is one thing I think that's a shortcoming on what he put forward.
And that's what Ben Carson basically is saying. He says it's a biblical approach. He's suggesting 10%. Maybe there could be some variables on that, but some kind of a flat tax.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how all this works out in the end, and we continue to watch these presidential candidates and what they say. We need to continue to pray for wisdom so that we can vote for the appropriate one. The one who is biblically correct as well as constitutionally correct. And as you continue to listen to Stand in the Gap today, we will help you weed your way through some of those things that they are saying from time to time. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the shooting out there at the Umpqua Community College in Roseburg, Oregon. We'll also be talking about some things taking place in the Middle East and the speech that Bibi Netanyahu gave to the United Nations yesterday. There's a lot going on in the world around us today, ladies and gentlemen, and you are at the location where you can hear about these various issues from the biblical and the constitutional perspective right here at Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network. We will be back right after this, as a matter of fact, in just about 4 minutes, so don't go too far away from the radio. We will be back. Stay tuned.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer. Oxford historian Arnold Joseph Toynbee died this day, October 2nd, 1975. He worked for the British doing intelligence and was a delegate to the Paris Peace Conferences following World Wars I and II. Gaining international acclaim for his history books, Arnold Toynbee wrote, "The course of human history consists of a series of encounters in which each man, woman, or child is challenged by God to make the free choice between doing God's will and refusing to do it. When man refuses, he is free to make his refusal and to take the consequences."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The release of a series of videos exposing terrible atrocities committed by Planned Parenthood in the name of reproductive health or the right to choose has awakened many to the truth of abortion and is stirring calls to restore protection for all innocent human life from conception until natural death. It's being described as a Wilberforce moment, so named for William Wilberforce, the British Member of Parliament, whose Christian faith led him to take a stand against the slave trade. On October 30th, we're hosting Eric Metaxas as the keynote speaker for our Friends of the Family Banquet. Eric Metaxas is the best-selling biographer of Wilberforce and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, two men who demonstrated the duty of Christians to stand up against the evil in their day. For more information about our Friends of the Family Banquet, go to pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, and we encourage you to go to our radio website, which, of course, is www.standinthegapradio.com, and on there you can learn more about this ministry as well as the other radio programs the American Pastors Network produces, and you can also correspond with us at that particular location. We certainly like to hear from you, and we would be open to your comments or your questions about this particular program or something that's going on in the world, and we would be more than delighted to deal with that, to answer your questions if you bring them to us. That's www.standinthegapradio.com, and you can also listen to the program there if you have to be away from your radio, as it provides a link to the WFYL studios in the Philadelphia area. Well, I think we all know by now that yesterday there was a shooting at the Umpqua Community College in Roseburg, Oregon. We have found out that the shooter was a 26-year-old student whose name is Chris Harper Mercer. And it's interesting to note how the numbers of those who were shot and killed have been fluctuating ever since this happened yesterday morning. But as I understand it now, there have been 10 killed, including the gunman himself, as well as 7 injured. And we're still getting information from what's taking place out there. We understand that he had about 4 weapons, 3 handguns, and then perhaps a long gun. We are thankful for the fact that the police arrived to the school campus in about 3 minutes after the shooting began. One of the things that is interesting to me is to note that the school was referred to as a gun-free zone, and yet I think everybody has the freedom to carry guns there in Oregon. That's sort of an interesting contradiction that I've been able to pick up. But, you know, it's just interesting to see what's happening out there. One of the statistics that I found is that since 1990, there have been 152 mass shootings. And, of course, this thing is growing and growing. And, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we'll address this later on. I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that there are guns out there. It has everything to do with the way people think. But getting back to the shooting out in Roseburg, Sam, I want to ask this question to you. It's interesting to note that from the reports that we're getting, they say that the shooter lined up people and asked them if they were Christian. If they said yes, then they were shot in the head. If they said no or didn't answer at all, then they were shot in the legs. And the question that I have to you is, number one, is this a continual piece of evidence that there is a war on Christianity? And secondly, if so, should the church wake up with things like this taking place across the nation?
Well, Gary, I think it is a very, very clear indication that as a culture, let's put it this way, as a culture, we have many, and who can quantify that, but generally the culture has moved away from a fear of God. The culture as a whole have moved away from self-limitation, self-discipline according to the Ten Commandments, which is what our founders said. If we did not discipline ourselves, we would not be able to maintain the republic or enjoy the benefits of liberty. So these things we are seeing. But, Gary, we're also seeing government officials themselves who are moving away from and have for a long time the implementation of the true concept of biblical justice and punishing those who do evil. And those guys, so there's a number of things that are taking place which really encourage these things. Book of Proverbs tells us that if sentence is not executed against those who do wrong speedily, it's fully set in the heart of man to do evil. That's a purpose of government to say, here's the law, it conforms to God's law, and we will act upon it quickly and move it through the process. Now, these things have not been done. I think the fact that this individual now, by seeing what has happened, by probably following, and he's probably an avid follower of TV and movies, which these kinds of things are glorified. We don't yet know about his real connection, if there's any connection to a Muslim belief or not, but certainly this kind of thing falls into that category. We'll see how that comes out. But you put all of these things together, you have no fear. So when he comes out and says, I'm going to ask whether or not you are a Christian, I think we have yet to find out exactly why. It could come from an evil heart. Strictly, it could come from an ideology such as Islam, which does that. It could come from a really, ingrained atheistic Marxist view of the hatred of our country, which there are many that are in that category. I don't know that we know those things yet, but it certainly comes from an evil heart. And as Christians who uphold a moral standard and who believe in God and say we believe in an absolute right and wrong, that principle right there is what is angering and infuriating to all of those who don't want to have anything to do with God. So he's in that category somewhere. I don't think we just quite know where.
Hmm. Jim, I want to go to you as a follow-up on that particular question because, you know, it has happened. It's taking place. And that is that President Barack Obama yesterday has once again used the incident to speak out for gun control. He actually blamed the murder on guns, and he said that states that have the tightest gun control laws have the lowest amount of murders by guns. And the question that I want to begin with by asking you is, how accurate is that? I mean, you know, I take, for instance, as I understand it, his hometown, Chicago, has very, very strict gun laws. But it just seems as though there are more and more shootings out there. I think, as a matter of fact, even last weekend, there were nearly 60 shootings in the city of Chicago. So when the president says that those states and the various places that have the tightest gun control laws have the lowest amount of murders by guns, is there any validity to that, Jim?
I think he's playing fast and loose with the facts. Okay, just I don't want to be more blunt than that, but you can read between the lines. That is not true. I mean, you could check the numbers. Guns, in fact, you've heard this before, but it's true. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. And what happens when people tally up, and I've seen some of the stuff coming out early this morning in some of the newspapers about how many people have died with guns over the past whatever. They always try to pick some number like 50 or 100 years, whatever, to make it look really, really dramatic. But they never seem to publish how many people are alive today because someone had a gun to stop the shooting, you know, to take the shooter out or to prevent a shooting when the shooter sees that someone else is also armed. If you look at Baltimore, not far from Baltimore, and we've got the homicide rate that right now is that's almost one killing per day, let alone attempted killings per day. In the city of Baltimore alone, not the whole state. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, Hillary Clinton came out just not long after the smoke from the gun blew away to say, we need to have sensible gun control. And but what's ironic is that the college, this community college out there in the West, was a no-gun zone. And perhaps this gunman knew that. He knew that he would have free rein, at least for a while, if everybody else was obeying the law. So it actually prompts people to do things that perhaps otherwise they would not do. But as far as what Sam had said earlier, I'm in 100% agreement with him. We've gotten away from the laws of the Bible. You know, in Pennsylvania, not long ago, if you go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the words of the Bible, there's over 50 verses painted on the walls of the House chamber and the Supreme Court and the Senate chamber of the government houses in Harrisburg. Over 50 different verses of Scripture. I wonder how often people read them. We're getting away from it. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if there'd be a petition to paint them over. But we need to get back to truth. You know, without the truth, people perish.
You know, that's absolutely correct. And I think it was Senator John Eichelberger once who said to me, Sam, that you can get to heaven through the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court. And what he meant is that there's so much scripture on the wall there in the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court that somebody could read those scriptures and come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be great if people in Harrisburg would just read them and pay attention to those verses?
Well, just one of the verses, John chapter 8, verse 32, is on the House chamber wall. It says, you shall know the truth, and that's a capital T, and the truth shall make you free.
Yeah. Sam?
Yeah, absolutely. And I looked at that verse for almost 20 years. And, you know, there's no excuse. You know, if for anyone who's in the position of enforcing the law or implementing the law, executive branch or judicial branch and interpreting it, if without the proper understanding of what the rule of law means, ultimately that moral law sits on top and every other portion of man's law is sandwiched between God's law as the lawgiver and the enforcer on the bottom. I mean, that whole concept, that's on the Supreme Court wall in Pennsylvania. Without that understanding, you have everybody be making a law unto themselves. That's kind of what we're seeing happening here now.
That's right. And, you know, I am reminded of the days of the judges where the Word of God says that everyone did that which is right in their own eyes. And that's what happens when the Word of God is not out there before people and when people do not apply the Word of God to their lives. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 3-minute break. And when we come back, we'll talk about things taking place over in the Middle East. And even we will be talking about the speech that Bibi Netanyahu gave to the United Nations yesterday. So stay tuned. We will be back right after this break.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The Coast Guard's looking for a container ship with 33 crew missing in Hurricane Joaquin. The El Faro was on its way to Puerto Rico from Jacksonville, Florida. Now, it's looking like that storm will not make landfall in the United States, but there could be flooding.
Joaquin's predicted path now keeps it far out to the ocean, but that doesn't mean the coastal U.S. or even some inland areas won't be affected by it. The mid-Atlantic and northeastern seaboard states should still expect rain and even wind. Beaches will also see high swells.
Fox News Radio's Evan Brown. We expect to hear more from police in a few minutes about yesterday's shooting at Umpqua Community College in Oregon. 10 people died, including the gunman. Hannah Miles heard shooting from the classroom next door.
You could hear the people. You could hear them moving and crying.
Fox News. We report. You decide.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back to each and every one of you listening to this program across the nation and around the world. And the other day I mentioned that phrase around the world, and later on that day I received an email from a friend of ours. Sam, you know who I'm talking about, John Castle, who is over in Africa, and he thanked us for including him as one of the listeners around the world. So, John, if you're listening from Africa today, glad to have you with us. And anybody else who's listening in Africa or Europe or South America or wherever you are, we are delighted to have you listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Well, for the next two segments, we would like to focus on what's going on over in the Middle East. And, you know, we've talked quite a bit, ladies and gentlemen, about what's taking place there and about Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39 and how the buildup that we see over there seemingly indicates that we're getting close to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first stage being the rapture of the church. And, of course, when you read through Ezekiel 38 and 39, you find that what will take place there is under the direction of Russia and the leader of Russia. The nations of the world will come down against Israel. And, of course, you know, Israel seemingly more and more is standing alone. And yesterday at the United Nations up in New York City, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, spoke to the United Nations, and he gave them quite a challenge Jim, you are sort of our national security expert. Why don't you share with our people some of the things that Bibi Netanyahu said up there yesterday, and what are the ramifications of what he said as it relates to what's going on in the world around us today?
Well, Gary, as you know, Bibi Netanyahu understands American politics very well. He went to school at MIT. In fact, he was there the same time I was up there studying. He really understands how we think, and he understands how the world thinks, you know, being the current person in charge over in Israel. And he came to the United Nations after all of these various world leaders got up and ventilated their emotions and policies about why they think that they're right and everyone else seems to be wrong. And Netanyahu's message was quite short compared to what Mr. Obama and Mr. Putin and others said out there. But the statement that he made that I thought really, really captured everything he was saying was, and I'll just paraphrase because I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but I remember hearing him say it, but it was something like this. He said, you have heard Iran and these other nations saying that they will destroy Israel, wipe them from the face of the earth. There will be no Israel in 25 years. That was one of the quotes he made. And now you sit here and I listen. Not one of you, not one nation here, this 187, I think it was, nations represented, is saying anything. Total silence. And then he waited. Not one thing was said. Nobody stood, nobody clapped, nothing. I think that speaks volumes about how the world thinks about this. They're either afraid or they're in league with those who'd love to see the, Israel destroyed.
We know you are in circles there in Washington, D.C., and involved with national security. Do you have any indication how our nation, the leaders of our nation, responded to Netanyahu's speech yesterday?
Again, it's just crickets. I've heard nothing. Now, maybe there is something out there that Mr. Obama said, but I have not heard anything. Maybe Sam has a better, is in tune with that. I have not heard anything.
And, Sam, have you heard anything at all in any of your research?
No, really I have not, Gary. There's been a silence, and I'm looking at the exact quote from Netanyahu there. In response, and he said this was the quote, the utter quote, as he said, utter silence, deafening silence, end quote. And he waited for 45 seconds in panning the hall. Can you imagine what those people felt? I mean, I would have hoped that there had been some guilt in their hearts. But really, what he was saying was true, and I believe that's why nothing has, in fact, been said. And that's what has been so troubling about the entire Iran bomb deal and our administration being complicit in it. In fact, it had because it has been to turn our back, the United States, and our military support really in alignment with these other nations against Israel. And so, right. So I mean, those young people that were out there at the community college we just talked about in Oregon, who for that moment in time were just them looking at the person who, in some cases, killed them. I'm going to kill you because you are a Christian. That was in that setting, and we can all now look at it. But what Netanyahu did was to take that reality to the body of the world and ask that same question. When they have people looking down and saying, we want you dead, the only reason that they are not dead right now as a nation is because God is still protecting them.
Amen.
But that's an amazing thing, gentlemen, to think about it, and no one really stood up. I have not heard anyone really say, you're right, Bibi. We're you know, we ought to feel guilty. We ought to be. It's a deafening silence, as he said, a deafening silence.
Yes, Sam. You know the fact that Bibi Netanyahu was willing to come to our Congress and address them and be very specific on what the threats are, and then have them basically. And this was, I believe, before we signed the agreement, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know what the timing exactly is, but it's around this
time. Yeah, it was. It was,
and,
Jim.
And for the Congress to basically many of the Congress, I'm not saying all of them, but many of them basically complying with whatever Obama negotiated. And we still don't know some of those secret side deals, which to me is illegal. So it makes me angry to see these people who, you know, a country the size of New Jersey, okay, mm-hmm. and now you have a Russian base within 5 to 10 minutes flying time from the Israeli border, the Russians now, mm-hmm. with their Navy base and air bases there, they could attack in a moment's notice.
And Jim and Gary, you know, putting that, you know, this in even greater reality, I know we touched on it the other day or two, but the change that it continues as we are watching it, the alignment of, for instance, Hezbollah, which Israel has gone after Hezbollah. Hezbollah being supported by Iran have attacked Israel and thrown bombs over and that kind of thing. And Israel has gone back and has put manners on Hezbollah as it demands. But now, because of the change, where Hezbollah is actually using Russian equipment, and Hezbollah is now working in a united fashion as part of the official Russian-Iran team, means that when Hezbollah, but when Hezbollah launches another attack against Israel, and Israel attacks Hezbollah, do you realize what's happened? Now Israel will be attacking Russia. Because of the alliance that has been formed there, the increasing odds, human odds, that are being placed against this nation of Israel, and what they must be thinking and what they must be planning and attempting to do and how to stand against this when all of their friends effectively have forsaken them, from God's perspective, that's where I believe that He wants them to be, but woe to those nations that do that against them. And God's going to deal with them and us, I believe, in America.
Yeah, Gary, also I think that, Sam is right on target there. Let me add one more thing. The Russians tend to play like a magician. You know, when you watch a magician's hands doing some kind of a table trick, you're usually watching the hand that the magician wants you to watch, and then they're doing something with the other hand that's sort of doing the magical part, so to speak. This is how the Russians behave also. I really believe part of what they're doing in Syria right now, in that part of the world, is to distract our attention from what they're doing over in Ukraine, in the Crimea, in that region. And so we're so paying attention to what's going on there that now they're solidifying their control over there so that they're able to succeed rather than having us on the front page and having Congress concerned. We'll cut funding and we'll have various economic sanctions and so on. Now we're concerned about another piece. So they're playing us like a fiddle. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, Vladimir Putin used to be in charge of the KGB, their CIA. That's the way they operate, deceive and deception, and making you look the other way when they're doing something is the way they do business.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we were talking about a little bit yesterday in the program, and that is the fact that Russia has never really died, even though the Soviet Union has fallen apart. Putin wants to rebuild the old Russian Empire as much as he possibly can. You know, the other thing to take into consideration, we've got to go to a break here, but was it this week, Sam, that the Palestinian flag was raised for the first time up in the United Nations? And it makes me wonder if all of the United Nations isn't against Israel. You know what I'm saying?
No, I think you're right, Gary, and I think that's why Bibi said what he said and nobody stood to their feet and they remained quiet.
That's exactly what I was thinking as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we need to take a break. We will be back with the final segment of today's program in about 4 minutes, so we encourage you to stay tuned. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network. Today, along with Sam Rohr and James O'Brien, I'm Gary Dahl. Don't go away. We are back with more right after these messages.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools.
It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? Have you ever said, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage the wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. We are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul gave critical counsel, important for Timothy and applicable to us. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Apostle Paul said, as a believer, you've been saved and called. You've been given great responsibility as a preacher, teacher, and soldier. He said, the calling is divine. The opposition is demonic. In fact, perilous and frightful times will come, expect it. But be strong, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power. He said, God has not made us to be fearful or afraid during unsettling times. To the contrary, He's given us the spirit of power, the power to successfully encounter foes and dangers, the power to bear up under trials, the power to triumph in persecution. Therefore, he said, don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ and the gospel. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network reminding you, in the face of danger, go forward in the strength of God's power.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Friday edition of Stand in the Gap Today. And along with Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl, and our guest host today is Jim O'Brien, who, of course, is involved with national security in Washington, D.C. And, Jim, one of the things that we have not spoken of here on Stand in the Gap as it relates to what's going on over in the Middle East now with Russia and Syria – is something that may be a little more broad than what we are seeing taking place right there in Syria. But over the years, Russia has enabled Western Europe to become more dependent upon Russia for natural gas and oil. And the question that I have for you today is, how significant is that in light of the current events going on in Syria?
Well, you have to recognize, Gary, that the Soviet Union, or actually Russia, I keep calling the Soviet Union, Russia, is sort of a one-trick pony. Their primary revenue is oil. That's not true of the U.S. and not true of many other nations, but it is true of Russia and some of the other Arab countries like Saudi Arabia and so on. And so here it's very significant, I believe, that this incursion into the Ukraine, where some of this oil and a lot of the oil is transported, with the winter coming on, it can be pretty severe in some of these northern times. I think they sort of have the Western European nations right where they want them. You know, if they don't get their heat oil and their natural gas and so on, they're going to have an awful cold winter. So I think they have leverage right there. But I said, also coupled with that is the fact that now you're seeing a lot of activity by the Saudis to sort of push back from what the Russians are doing, because they're both competing for oil. And oil prices, of course, are plummeting down around $40 a barrel now instead of $110 like it was. And you're seeing the Saudi Navy going down to the bottom of the Red Sea at the other end of the Suez Canal to try to protect that, because what's happening is people down there, down around Yemen, are starting to intercept and try to threaten ships that are transporting not just oil but other kinds of merchandise through that strait. I think the strait's called Bab al-Mandab, and it's at the very bottom of the Red Sea. So you've got the Suez, the bottom of the other. You've got the you've got this strait. And what you're, in fact, let me take it even more broadly. If you look around the world, there are about five or six strategic straits need to be controlled for free flow of commerce. Now, obviously, the first one is the Panama Canal. But now the Panama Canal, which used to be called the Canal Zone, controlled by the United States, is now controlled by Red China. Then look at the Suez, which I just talked a little bit about. That's controlled right now by a rather unstable Egyptian regime. Then you've got the Straits of Malacca, controlled by Indonesia, where a tremendous amount of oil and other transport goes through there. They are a heavily Muslim nation. And then you've got the Strait of Hormuz, which controls travel out of the Persian Gulf, which is where a lot of the oil coming from Iran and so on passes. And that, of course, is within, rifle range, if you will, of Iran. So you've got all of these straits, very strategic, all happening, okay, whether it's Red China or whether it's the Muslim state or whatever, very difficult strategic straits, if you will, not to play on words here. But take beyond that point, the fact the Russians now are very, very active up in the Arctic. They've got, I believe the number is 43 icebreakers. We have built one in the last 10 years, okay, one. So I think we have a fleet of three or four total, and they've got 10 times more than we do. So they'll be able to break up the ice for their navy, for their commerce, where we're not really paying attention. So there's a lot of things going on around the world that are causing the United States to end up being sort of an island, rather than us going across the world and deploying and being the world's peacekeeper as we've been. So I'm very concerned about what's happening here, and the U.S. seems to be sitting there watching it.
Sam?
And Jim, I would even add into that a little bit. I think perhaps not just watching it, but could we also be complicit? We've talked about how the world leadership, the baton, has been passed from our president. New York Post made this clear, big headline. The baton has been passed from us to Putin in Russia. In the Middle East, you know, you talk about Egypt is uncertain. Well, you know, Egypt has now signed an agreement with Russia. Russia is there into a void that we have created. That is, because most of those in the Middle East have tended to gravitate in the past to the United States, not because they've agreed with our ideology, but they've tended to go where they perceive the strength to be. Now, as we got back out and create a void, that void is being filled aggressively by Russia and by Putin, and those countries are gravitating now to where the power is. And I think that even though, I don't know what you think about this, Jim, but I think even though that perhaps for the moment the conflict between the Iran and Saudi Arabia is there, I believe ultimately the Saudis are going to sign a deal and come around to support of Russia because we are providing no help and no defense for the Middle East, including Saudi Arabia and Russia.
Sam, I agree with what you're saying. In fact,
you think that makes sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, there's a saying over in the Middle East, an enemy of my enemy is my friend. And, the one common bond, if you will, that people seem to have is someone that is not going to be pushing for to support the United States, which is now weak. Obviously, you have a fight between the Sunnis and the Shias. I believe that Russia is interested in cozying up to Saudi Arabia and some of these nations because they have militant Islam on their southern tier. You've got Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan and all of these different Istans out there, like eight of them, including Chechnya, that are causing problems for Russia. And they're concerned about terrorism there as well. So if they can somehow get a secular Muslim Islam on their southern tier, that's all the better.
Well, this has been some good information, and we're just about finished with the program. And ladies and gentlemen, we do want to encourage you to be praying for what is going on over there in the Middle East. Pray particularly for the nation of Israel. Pray for Benjamin Netanyahu, because as both Jim and Sam mentioned earlier in the program, it just seems like even after his speech yesterday, he got no kind of response out of the United Nations. And obviously, we know he's getting very little response from our current administration here with President Barack Obama. We want to thank Jim O'Brien for being with us on the program today. And we trust that, ladies and gentlemen, you will have a great weekend. The Lord willing, we will be back with you again on Monday. And we will watch the news over the weekend. And on Monday, we will look at it from the biblical and the constitutional perspective. And so I would encourage you to have a great weekend. Go to church Sunday. And then join us again Monday for another Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. Keep looking up, ladies and gentlemen, because we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.